Thank the Lord for that, all the singing, particularly that special in song. And I thank God for leading them to choose that song and leading me to try to preach on this giving of thanks tonight. Of course, November is approaching us. We can tell that by the weather, can't we now? What a beautiful day. Beautiful day. We're all talking about the weather. I am just rejoicing in this cooler weather. And with that comes the fall and Thanksgiving time. And the fourth Thursday in November is what we call Thanksgiving. And I, every year when I'm thinking about that and preaching, I'm made to realize, I'm reminded every year that so often the term just becomes a generic term, Thanksgiving. You know, what day is Thanksgiving? You know, when is Thanksgiving? Or how long till Thanksgiving? Or next Thursday's Thanksgiving. So, you know, when I say that, sometimes I'm thinking about the occasion, the day of the year, the holiday, versus what Thanksgiving really is. That happens, doesn't it? Christmas. What day is Christmas on this year? You know, we just get kind of cool to it. We get kind of hardened to it. We lose the meaning of it. And so, as I've tried to study over the years of Thanksgiving, there's so many exhortations in the Word of God for giving thanks, to give thanks. And one of the things I think about in the New Testament is when Jesus healed those 10 lepers. You remember that? And how many turned back to give thanks? 10% of them. And that makes me think that probably maybe 10% of the time I'm thankful as I should be. Maybe. So we need to be thankful. And the psalmist urges us here in Psalm 107. It's an exhortation to give thanks. And we're going to just look at the first 8 verses tonight. I'm going to read them and then, Lord willing, have prayer. And then we'll try to expound upon those verses some. God being with us and being our helper. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Let me start over. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The Psalms end, this part of it ends like it starts, doesn't it? The word, an exhortation here. Let's pray, brethren. God add his blessing to the reading of his word, Psalm 107, verses 1 through 8. And now let's pray, brethren. And please, you pray. I know you have been, but pray God will bless me and bless you to hear the word of God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the occasion to be in your house yet again. Thank you again for the homecoming time that we had in celebration of the many years you've blessed your people here, the ones who've gone on before us, the ones that are here now. I praise you for them, Lord, in their labor, work of faith, their labor of love. Bless the pastor and his wife here and all who labor together to give honor and glory to you, to bring a good example of how we ought to live to this community and to those around. Strengthen them for service, we pray. Help and bless through the coming year that we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior and grow in his service. Thank you for your written word. And Father, open our minds now, please, Lord, let me say what's right. Please direct my thoughts and words that they would honor and glorify you and would exhort the people, and that you would give me words to say that would edify the people, including myself. And Father, help us to honor you tonight in what we do here. Thank you for the singing of the hymns and the special in song. And now as we look to your word, may it be profitable to us for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray that name above every name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I was reading through the Psalms in my organized study. Finished the Psalms. I'm now in Proverbs, and so I think there are 150 Psalms. It's been a few weeks when I was on Psalm 107, but that's one that hit me and stuck with me. And so I have tried to study these verses to bring to you the message. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And I'd like to just now, God willing, just go one verse at a time and expound upon them for a little while. Oh, the first word in this psalm is oh. That word shows the psalmist is, he means it. He's got energy in it. He's wanting to call our attention to it. Oh is used to express emotion. And then he says, give thanks. Give thanks. To give thanks, brethren, that's the first order of business he has in this psalm for us, for the readers. Give thanks. Thank. To thank means to express gratitude. I have said this a number of times from the pulpit. I hope I didn't say it when I was here before with y'all. If I did, please bear with me. But when our children were little, we have three. When they were little, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, older, we would, my wife and children, we would go to my parents at Christmas time, and we'd go to her parents at Christmas time. And we traveled in a van most of the time. We had a Ford van we traveled in. And so we got close to either of the grandparents. We knew that there'd be opening of presents there at Christmas. And so my wife would get all the children's attention, all three of them, and she would say, now, when somebody gives you something, you go to them and you say thank you. You thank them. And she was big on that, and I was too, and I was glad she was doing it. And because we wanted them to express gratitude to the family, the grandparents and aunts, uncles, cousins, whoever would give them a gift. I mean, that's only reasonable, isn't it, that we express gratitude, and we taught our children to say thank you when somebody did something for them. And you might have experienced something, maybe like I have, that sometimes you do something for a person and they don't say thank you, and it kind of giles me, just kind of rubs me the wrong way. And that's just the flesh in me, though. That's the flesh in me. We're to do good to all men, especially the household of faith to which we belong. But we wanted to make sure that our children express thanks. And I think, you know, God is not a man, and his ways are not our ways. But, brethren, he likes to receive thanksgiving, else the psalmist wouldn't be saying it. And I imagine he's displeased when we don't thank him as we should. Like Jesus said himself, he said, where are the other nine? We got one here. Where are they? It's to teach us, brethren, to be thankful. Oh, give thanks. And then to whom? Unto the Lord. Unto the Lord, to our God, the God of gods, the one true and living God. Give thanks. Jesus said on another occasion, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's in your heart comes out. And if you're not thankful in your heart, then the words thank you are not going to come out. But if you are, you're going to praise God. We began tonight with the doxology. Praise God are the first two words in that, aren't they? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for, why? He is good. He is good. Whew. That's an understatement, isn't it? God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God is good. He's our Heavenly Father, and He's good. Not all fathers are good, are they? And even good fathers are not always good, but earthly fathers, but our heavenly Father is always good, and he's good in all ways. He never makes mistakes. He's never unkind to us. Even when he's chastening us, he's doing it in love. I have thought before, and please understand here, I'm not trying to say something of sacrilege here, but you know, and God is good, and he has to be because he's holy, holy, holy. But imagine, and he's all powerful and he knows everything. What if he weren't good? What if he were somehow bad? I mean, I don't mean to say something sacrilegious here, but he's not. But I mean, can't we get comfort in knowing God never changes? He's always good. He's always perfect. He's always holy. That we can rest in that he doesn't change. He changes not. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Mercy. Mercy, brethren, is unmerited favor. Mercy. His mercy endures forever. I sometimes use the example of how I feel. You know, I worked with the courts, and in court, so many times people are just at each other. The parties, the lawyers, they're just at each other. And because they want what they think they justly deserve. They want justice. And really, when somebody wrongs me, I want justice. But when I wrong someone else, you know what I want? Mercy. Don't you? Don't we? We want mercy. When we're being judged and we're wrong, we've done something wrong, come up short, made a mistake, failed somehow, I want mercy. I don't want justice. I want mercy. God's mercy, brethren, endures forever. He'll never be unmerciful to his people. What a blessing that is. I was thinking about this, how God's mercy endures forever. It does, brethren, because he's infinite. He's everlasting. He's always been. He is now. He ever will be. He's merciful, so his mercy endures forever. Well, it becomes especially a blessing to me when I think about God's mercy enduring forever. When I think about it, it'll endure throughout my lifetime. He was merciful 500 years ago, and that's good, and I'm thankful for that. He'll be merciful 500 years from now. I won't be here then. I'll be home with him, and he'll still be merciful. But you know what makes it keenly a blessing to me is he's merciful right now in my little spot on the timeline in eternity. He's merciful. He was merciful to my granddaddy, who was born in 1900. He was a pastor, elder in the Primitive Baptist. He was merciful to him. I know occasions in his life. I know a little about his life. I was a grown man when he died. But I know I can look back on Granddaddy Devane's life and I can see the mercies of God manifest in his life. My daddy, I think I told you, is still living. He's 92. God is being merciful to him right now. He's being merciful to me right now. He has been all my life. He's chastened me. He's spanked me. He's taken me to the woodshed. But he's done it because he loves me. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he's merciful to me right now. And he'll be merciful to me until I die and afterwards, because I'll be home in glory with him. But another additional special blessings to me are not that he was merciful only to my granddaddy and my daddy and me, but I've got three children, and he's merciful to them. Man, when you think about God's going to take care of your children and be merciful, and that's a blessing. And I've got four little grandbabies I've told you about, and we've talked about, and yours and mine. He's the same God, brethren, that's looking after them, that's looking after you now. And I can die in peace knowing that God's going to be taken care of. He's a merciful God, and he'll be the same yesterday, today, and forever is the same. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good. His mercy endures forever. Verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, brethren, and it goes on to say, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That first phrase, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, you can look back on the verse before it and say, the redeemed of God need to say, God is good and God's mercy endures forever. We need to speak that. We need to say it. We need to testify that. Or you can look at it going forward that says, let those who are redeemed of the Lord say they're redeemed of the Lord. Either way, it works. Either way. You know, we sing that hymn, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child, and forever I am. How can you say forever I am? Because he's ever merciful. And once saved, always saved, brother. We'll be with him, home in glory. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Have you said that lately? You probably sung it in song. Maybe you've said it in here. And that's good. We need to. But brethren, I need to say it outside the walls of the church here. I need to say it. I need to say it at the gas pump to the man that's pumping gas next to me after I say good morning or how are you? How you doing today? I need to say God is good. God is merciful. He's always merciful. And I found, brethren, when I do that, it's almost 100% of the time the person says amen or you're right. God is good. He's blessing me. Sometimes I get so timid about saying that I'm redeemed and saying those things. And I miss chances. I miss opportunities. And that's a sad thing, is missed opportunity, isn't it? Whew. Brethren, there's all kinds of opportunities just to say, God bless you. Good morning. How are you doing today? God is good. And they'll say amen to you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Did you know, brethren, you know this, you're redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. Did you know that? Redeemed means to buy back. Buy back. Brother Mike was giving me an example of an item that he went and bought back. Remember we were talking about that just last night or not before? That this item had been taken and sold, really, and he didn't belong to him, but he went, he got it, he rescued it, he bought it back, you redeemed it. And brethren, you and I had been lost. We were lost. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were in the hand of the enemy. Brethren, I was in the hand of the enemy, and he's a hard taskmaster. He's cruel. And he's after you. He walks to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. But brethren, God, through Jesus Christ, bought us back. He bought you back. You're redeemed not with corruptible things. Brother Mike went down to this store and redeemed it with corruptible things, gold, some cash, and got it back. But I think it's Simon Peter who says, we're not redeemed by corruptible things, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. Bought back, redeemed. No wonder we love that hymn, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And you know, that's the only thing that'll redeem you. That's the only thing that would have done it. Only thing. I'm on, God willing, preach on that tomorrow night some, the Lord willing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Man, it feels good to be redeemed, brethren, bought back, and I'm grateful and eternally grateful. He's gathered them, verse 3, out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. We live in the west. We call it the western part of the world. The west as opposed to the east or the orient or Asia. We live in the west. So we know God's got a people here. But you know, brethren, he's got a people in the east and the north and the south too. Revelation 5:9 says this, they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof because thou wast slain. Who are they talking about? Jesus. And hast redeemed us to God. Get that, brethren. You're redeemed. We were estranged from God. We were enemies of God. And Jesus has redeemed us to him. He's made it right between us and God. He's redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation from the east, west, north, and south. And that's why, one reason, brethren, to me, it's important that when I am at the gas pump or in the line in the grocery store or somewhere like that, out in public, and I see a person who's from the south, maybe a Hispanic person or an Asian person or an African person, that I don't forget that God has a people in every nation. They may not look like me or talk like me, and I may have to take a deep breath and say, good morning, how are you? God is good. God's redeemed me. But brethren, it'll work. It will work if we do it. Don't just think that we here in the West, or we here in the U.S. of A., or we here in Alabama and the Bible Belt are the only ones that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God has a people in every nation. He's gathered us from the east, west, north, and south. And to bring it to a local level, we've ridden around some, Brother Mike and Sister Leah and me. I love to see the countryside. It's a beautiful part of the country here. I love to see it. And just on a smaller scale, brethren, some of you come from a little bit north of here. Some of you from east, west, some from the south. Just in our sanctuary here, he's redeemed us from different parts of the county and of the state even. But brethren, we all, as the Jesus in us, in me, loves the Jesus in you. We love Jesus. They wondered. Now here's background. The psalmist begins to tell about those redeemed people. That before, brethren, before they came to a knowledge of the truth, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. That sounds like maybe the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, but that's not the application here. It's talking about the redeemed people of God in every age. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Do you know why I feel that it applies to even me today? Because, brethren, there was a time when I wandered in the wilderness. Oh, boy, I was in a waste, howling wilderness. I was. And I was in a solitary way. I know that has different meanings maybe to different ones of us. But to me, it means that I, as far as any help, I was on my own. Now, God was looking after me, but there was an occasion, brethren, when I was a young man. I was probably about 22, 21 or 2, and I was in Tampa, Florida, and I was dating a young woman down there, and nice young lady, beautiful girl, and we were at outside the a big concert venue. We were going to a concert. I don't remember who it was, but we were on the Tampa Bay, beautiful, beautiful lights on the water, Coliseum over here. We were waiting to go in. We were sitting in my car. I had a Volkswagen back then, Beetle. And we were sitting there waiting to go in. It was almost dark. And I was sitting there. And brethren, I was in a waste, howling wilderness at that time. I was serving Mike rather than God. And we were sitting there, and people were walking past the car going in. And all of a sudden, this feeling came over me, and I felt like I was just as alone as I had ever been in my life, though my girlfriend of the time was sitting right beside me. I was in a solitary way. It's because, brethren, I was going my own way, and I was living an ungodly life, frankly. And God, brethren, was sending me a message that, look, You want to try to make your own way? Okay, here's how it feels. I'll let you feel what it's like to be in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. This, brethren, and you may see it differently, but I want this city to dwell in. Now, I've told a lot of you already this week, I don't like living in the city. I like the country. I'm not looking for a city like Montgomery to live in. I hope the Lord never sends me to the big city. He may, but I hope he doesn't. I pray he doesn't. If he sends me, I've got to go. But brethren, the city here is not a city that's man-made. There's an example of it in Hebrews chapter 11. The Word of God, the writer is talking about Abraham. Abraham. You know, Abraham was a nomad. God said, leave your people and go to a place that I'll show you. And Hebrews tells us, the 11th chapter, it says that he wandered about with Isaac and Jacob, and he looked for a city. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, I understand that to mean a city that is a spiritual city. It's not a natural city like Atlanta or Montgomery. It's a spiritual city. And that city there, the Lamb is the light of it. And it's the city of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It came down from God out of heaven. It's the New Jerusalem. Some of you may say that's the eternal heaven. I believe it's the city right here. Because Abraham, he didn't get to enter it like we can because it hadn't come down yet. But brethren, Abraham was looking for it. And God's people, brethren, they, if they're smart, they're looking for a city to dwell in whose builder and maker is God. And that's the kingdom of heaven on this earth right here, right here. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Brethren, we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And when we cry out in our need to God, brethren, the Lord, we're in trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. That's not crying out for eternal salvation and accepting Jesus and going to heaven, brethren. That's crying out to God, please help me. I'm miserable. I'm in a solitary way. I'm in a waste, howling wilderness. Help me. And then, brethren, when they cried out, and when I finally cried out and gave up and I said, I've had enough of this. And brethren, it didn't come easy for me either. I fought as long as I could. I tried to have fun with the world, and I tried to serve God over here. Man, I tried hard, but it can't be done. No man can serve two masters. I surely tried. I tried. I gave it the old college try, but it won't work, brethren. He led them forth by the right way. I love that expression. The right way, the highway. I'm pressing on the upward way. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. I want to press on to higher ground. And brethren, that ground, that city, is above the world. You can't live and be of the world and be in the city that's above the world. You can't do it. And he led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city of habitation. And that's a wonderful city to inhabit, brethren. It's the kingdom of God and his righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 8 concludes with the way the psalm starts. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I've got so much to thank him for. So much to thank him for. And the other line I didn't write down was, it's about where he's brought me from. Isn't that it? How does it go? Y'all tell me something about where he's brought me from. And he's brought us out of that waste, howling wilderness to a closeness with him. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Would you turn in closing to Psalm 146, 146 is right near the end of Psalms. There are 150 of them, I believe, 146. And here's, brethren, what I hope I will do and what I hope you will do, having been exhorted to and maybe inspired to be more thankful. Psalm 146, two verses. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. The psalmist is speaking to himself. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. That means as long as you live. You're going to praise him in heaven eternally, but right here, got to praise him right now. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, We went to the nursing home this morning, several, and we, Brother Mike and Sister Lee and I were talking about those saints there singing those songs. They didn't have a book, a lot of them. Some of them couldn't see the words if they had a book. But brother, they were singing those songs. They knew the words and they were singing those hymns of grace that we sang together. They were praising the Lord and they didn't have a whole lot of life in them or a lot of life left, but they were doing, brother, while they had some being, while I have any being, I will sing praises unto God. Thank the Lord for that and the opportunity. And I exhort you and I exhort myself, brethren, to praise God while I have yet any being in me. I have so much to thank Him for. Father in heaven, thank You for Your word and for the exhortation in it here tonight. Thank You for being good to us and for Your mercy and Your mercy that's everlasting. Thank You for finding us and bringing us out of a waste, howling wilderness and giving us a city which hath foundations, whose builder is God, hath foundations that are above this world. Thank You for that. May we press into it. May we be obedient in Your word always. Thank You for the opportunity. Thank You for this meeting. Thank You for the felt presence and direction of Your Holy Spirit in the singing of the hymns tonight and the special. And bless it, Your word, Father, to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray that name above every name. Amen.
The day is coming that we will be incorruptible.